This morning we examine some of the most common misconceptions that many religious people have today about heaven. Some people think that heaven isn't real, that it's just an encouraging concept included in the Bible to try to get people to try to please God. Some people believe that heaven will actually be a remodeled or refurbished earth. We noted this morning that that idea doesn't come from the Bible. In the third place, this morning we noted how that some people are confused as to what we shall be like in heaven, and it's almost as though a lot of folks think that we will be, and in fact some people, I'm convinced, want to be just like we are here on the earth when we get to heaven. Then in the fourth place, we noted that some have some misunderstandings about what we will be doing when we get to heaven. Obviously thinking, again, that heaven ought to be judged on some kind of an earthly scale, and the things that we do on earth ought to be good things to do in heaven, and if it's not something we enjoy on earth, then we wouldn't want to do it up there. As I announced this morning, tonight we're going to begin taking a look at some questions that people may be asking about heaven. Now, as I explained this morning, I thought all of this would fit into this morning's sermon, but as you know, I had to break it up. Well, I thought I would cover the balance of it tonight, but it's happened again. I've come to the conclusion that some of these questions really deserve more than just a quick passing over as we go down a checklist. And so I'd like for us to take one or two of these questions every Sunday night for the next few weeks and try to cover several things about questions that people ask concerning heaven. Now, if you're a little disappointed, think how the song leader must feel. He's pulled every song together in heaven that he can find, and he's used all of them up now. Nothing wrong with repeating some of those songs. As we ponder these issues, I want us to remind ourselves again of something that we noted this morning. There are many things about heaven that we do not know simply because our minds won't fathom those things. We deal in earthly things, earthly schedules, earthly events. The Bible may describe some things about heaven, and at the same time, the description does its very best, but in reality, it falls far short of being actual. Because you see, the Bible had to be written in human words, because that's the only thing that we human beings can understand. And heaven cannot sufficiently be described in human terms. And so the things that we talk about, and many times the comparisons that we make, the illustrations that we use, are often just feeble attempts at the very best that we can do with human terminology, knowing all of the time by faith that the real truth is so far greater and better and more beautiful and more wonderful than we even have the ability to express. It is for that reason that we may sometimes, often, characterize heaven or even God Himself using human characteristics simply because that's the best that we have. We have to be content with a lot of figurative terms in our discussions about heaven. And so when I say to you that right about now, Brother Mark Russell and Brother Joe McCullough have probably got half of that place planted in white shoe peg corn and purple hull peas, you know I don't really mean that literally, but you understand the point that I'm trying to make. Now, with those things in mind, and with those things in mind that we've talked about this morning, let's get to a few of those questions. Number one, and perhaps one of the most common questions that people ask, particularly children, where is heaven? Maybe your five-year-old has already asked you that question. What was your answer? Maybe you kind of got nervous and immediately your mind began racing and you tried to figure out how in the world am I going to say this, and I really am not sure if I've even got anything to say, and so you just maybe vaguely gestured up and said, well, it's up there. Why would we answer the question that way? Well, you say, we do know that heaven is out away from this earth somewhere. It couldn't be here on this earth because, as we read this morning, the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. And even the sky, the heavens in the sense that of the skies, the firmament, that's going to be destroyed too. And so we know then that heaven would have to be away from the earth. And since anywhere away from the earth going into outer space is technically up, no matter where you are on the earth, that's kind of how we rationalize giving that answer, that, well, heaven is just up there somewhere. Is that why you say that? It's not why I say that. I say that because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that heaven is up. In Psalm 123, verse 1, the psalmist says, to you I lift up my eyes, you who are enthroned in the heavens. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, it says there, and so it was that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. That's what it says. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three, record that occasion when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the five loaves and two fish. Let me read from Mark's account of that occasion in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. Speaking of Jesus, it says, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. The two fishes he divided among them all. Up to heaven. In Mark chapter 7, Mark tells about Jesus healing a man who was deaf and dumb. And in fact, Mark goes into detail that reminds us of some of Luke's accounts, because Mark here says that the Lord put his fingers in the man's ears. I know what you're thinking. And then it says the Lord spat. And then it says that he put his finger on the man's tongue. And I want to say, but Lord, you just took your finger out of his ear. And then verse 34 says, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, which is to say, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosed and he began to speak and he could hear. Jesus looking up to heaven, not over to heaven, not down to heaven, but up to heaven. You remember in Luke chapter 18, when that publican prayed there in the temple in the presence of the old Pharisee who was so self-righteous that all he did was stood there and told God how good he'd been, And it says there in verse 13 that the old publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. As Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 41 says, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. In John 17, verse 1, it says that Jesus spoke these things and lifting up his eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. One more reference. Acts chapter 1, verse 10, which tells about the ascension of Jesus. Ascension. To ascend. That's what Jesus did. He ascended up to heaven. But actually, verse 10 says, and as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. Folks, it's not just that heaven is up in the sense that it's out there somewhere beyond the orbit of Pluto, which has been downgraded now and is not really a planet anymore, but it's still out there. Up means higher. Higher than anything we know. Higher than anything we experience on this earth. That's heaven. What could be more fitting than the concept of heaven being up? Up above the pain and the sorrow of this world. Up means beyond. Beyond the reach of Satan's temptations. Where is heaven? No question about it. Heaven is up. I'm not exactly sure how far or up in exactly which direction from here, but the Bible says heaven is up. Heaven is not just up. Heaven is also home. It is a well-established fact that this world is not our home. I think I've quoted that old song in almost every sermon I've preached in the last several weeks. That's a fact that we don't need to check up on reminding ourselves of. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hebrews 11 and verse 16, in describing the great faith of that wonderful group of patriarchs, says this, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. A country and a city. And everything else that the Bible could call it that points to the fact that it's home. Home. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, a verse that we read this morning, Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the King James translation, most of the time that word citizenship is rendered conversation, which means literally manner of life. But if you look up the definition of the word in the original Greek, you'll also find that it can be literally translated community. for our community is in heaven. I like that. Our community is in heaven. You know, to many of us, to most of us, I think, where we live is important. And particularly if you've lived in that one little spot for a long time, or it's the old family home place, and then you can understand as well or better than anybody the significance of that word community. And so when the Bible says our community is in heaven, that seals the deal. Heaven is home. Everybody knows that when things are as they should be, there's nothing better than going home. Vance Havner, the old denominational preacher whose country way of speaking earned him the title of the country preacher, wrote these words on one occasion. As he neared the end of his life, he said, "I'm homesick for heaven. It's the hope of dying that's kept me alive for this long." Somebody says, "Well, that's morbid." Oh, no. No, it's not. I'm homesick for heaven, and it's the hope of dying that's kept me alive this long. Because, you see, unless the Lord comes first, the only way to get home is to die. What he wrote there reminds me again of the words of that old classic spiritual song that was made famous by Squire Parsons and some others. And it says, "I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will ever be spoken, and time there won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. I'm looking now across the river where my faith will end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. Heaven is home." If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.